Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for another day, another Wednesday. God, we talked about this day on Monday. It was not promised that we would see it, but we pray that it would be in your will that we would see this day, and it is in your will. And as we gather ourselves to study your word, we pray, God, that you will reveal your hearts, your thoughts, your intention towards us. God, we pray that you will calm the storms of life, those troubling ideas and things that's happening that just trouble our minds and our hearts. God, we pray that you would just speak a word that will calm those storms. God, give us understanding of even some of the things that's going on in our world today, and what do they mean, how they relate. How they relate to us, how they relate to our relationship with you. God, you are doing something. We don't know it all, God, but we pray that as we go along, as we walk with you, you would just continue to reveal what your will is for our lives. Have your way, we pray for everyone on the line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're back in Daniel chapter 7. And we just dealt with this on Monday. We didn't go through everything. So we will try to look at it a little bit more tonight and see what we can glean from these passages. On Monday, we just try to draw an idea from God's word of having hope, right? And trusting God's word, even in the time we're living in. And where we find ourselves in history and what God is doing. And so we want to continue with that, with what we was talking about. But we want to talk about in Daniel chapter 7, these prophecies, these visions that Daniel had. What do they mean? Like, is it prophecy, what place do they have in our lives, in our relationship with God? How does prophecy play a role? And I think when you consider God's people in the Old Testament and where they find themselves at in this book of Daniel, what led to them ending up in the situation they're in? And how their situation at that time seemed hopeless, because remember now, they are so far from God, their hearts and their mind are so far from Him, and it's part of the reason why they find themselves in captivity, because they did not maintain a healthy relationship with God, and the sinfulness, their rebelliousness. The ill will towards God's messengers, when God sent messengers like Jeremiah the prophet to warn them, they wouldn't listen. And so they find themselves in this situation, and their hearts are so far from God that they can't even feel Him. They can't feel Him, they can't sense Him. And so they feel a hopeless situation. And the question that's in their heart, of course, is where is God? Where is He right now? And how can He allow such a thing to happen to us? What happened to all the promises He made to us? And it just let us know that just because God makes promises to us, it doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play. We have responsibilities in regards to those promises, that we can't just say, oh, you know, God made promise, and since God is a God of His word, He won't go back on His promise, that I don't have to carry out my responsibility in fulfilling and keeping a healthy relationship with Him. And this is where they find themselves. So the same question for us. How does prophecy play a role? Prophecy has always been intended to give God's people hope for a future. Okay, it's not just prophecy is not just a thing to wow our imagination. All right, it's God used prophecy or the prophetic word to give His people hope for the future. Okay, and it is God's way of calming the storms. Right, like we said, their storm or even the storm in our life. Prophecy, the prophetic word of God, is God's way of calming the storms of uncertainties about our tomorrow. Okay? And in the context of Daniel chapter 7, even all the way to chapter 12, these prophecies give us the idea, first, that God's people, not knowing for certain, right? When we're talking about where they find themselves now, not knowing for certain what the future holds. So question word, was God in that person's situation? And we can have those same questions when we find ourselves in some places, even now, as we're living now. So what is God's answer, right? And God's answer in these chapters, 7 through 12, it's like God would say, I'm right here. I've always been here, all right? I've always had you in my mind, all right? And this is what he says. He says this, even through the prophet Jeremiah, the one of the prophets who God used to warn and give his people the message, he says this very same thing through Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah to tell his people, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. And they are thoughts to give you peace. They are thoughts of peace. They're not thought of evil to give you an expected end. All right. This is God's heart towards his people. And this is the role that prophecy played. That prophecy play in the life of God's people. This is the role the prophetic word of God plays in the life of God's people. It is to give us certainty of the future. It is God saying, I'm here. I'm right here. I've always been right here. Always. I've always been here. I'm right here. I'll always be here. I've always had you in mind. And when I say he said he always had us in his mind, and it's what he said in Jeremiah 29:11, his thoughts towards us. Amen. And the second thing is God people saw the future as dark and hitting, right? And so what was God's answer? God's answer is that spiritual truth that was once hidden, right, now has been uncovered. They now have the cover removed. That's the other thing about prophecy, right? So prophecy is to give us hope for the future. And the other thing is obscure, uncertain spiritual truths that we don't understand. Prophecy comes and it removes the cover. It takes the covers off of it and it gives us a clearer understanding or what God's plans are for us in the future. So that's it. It uncovers spiritual truth. Through the prophecies that I'm giving to my prophet Daniel, this is what God was saying, through the prophecy that I'm giving to my prophet Daniel, okay, that it can be seen and understood by all who have eyes to see and all who have ears to hear, what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because you understand prophecy, and it's like Peter said this. He says this and I don't want to get ahead of myself. He says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, but we'll get there. You know, no, he said no prophecy is of a private interpretation, and he talks about holy men of God being moved by the Holy Ghost. And they spoke this. So this prophetic word is the word of the Holy Spirit. And so God was saying, when this word I've given to my prophet Daniel, is I'm giving this word to give understanding, to uncover spiritual truth, so that those who have ears to hear, eyes to see, they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church of Jesus Christ, especially living in these last day and time. Thirdly, God wasn't just speaking. He wasn't just speaking to his people back then, all right? But he was also speaking to his people living right now. And when we understand and we believe these truths, we will be transformed to live in light of them. In other words, to live in accordance to God's plan for our future, right? And when God's people trust in his future plan, amen, when we trust in God's future plan, and we're going to talk the plans of God for us, right? But God don't just have a future plan for us. God also have a future plan for the enemy of Christ, for the enemies of Christ, for the enemy of the church. God also have a future plan for the enemy of Christ. And when we trust his future plans for the enemy of Christ, to know he is going to avenge every evil act against us. Amen. And then we won't feel, right? When you know that, when you know that you serve a God that's going to avenge you in his plan in the future, then you know that you don't have to take matters into your own hand. Amen. You don't have to avenge yourself. It's like the word says, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, and we're going to get into what Daniel, what does all of this have to do with Daniel chapter 7? Because I don't want to just, and I'm telling you, I got a headache. I really, and literally, I'm not speaking that figuratively. I really got a headache just trying to put all these images together. What do they mean? Searching history and what pride. I'm telling you, I got a headache, and I'm like, God, is this really what this, all of this is really about? Is it just gathering a bunch of facts and just pointing them out? I mean, is that what this is all about, or what is it really about? And it's just like he was saying, no, it's there's more to this than just gathering of facts. Amen. And so I'm not going to flood you guys tonight with a whole bunch of facts, because I have, and so look, but we will look at this chapter and see what we can glean from it. All right. So I'm going to read, and I didn't read the text yet, but I wanted to read as we went along. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, all right? We're still dealing with Babylon. We're still dealing with the time of the Gentiles. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing changed back then. Ain't nothing changed today. Ain't nothing going to change with regard to living in the time of the Gentile until Jesus Christ cracked the sky and Gabriel put one foot on the sea and the other foot on the earth, and nothing is going to change. Amen. We're still living in the time of the Gentile, and you know, so let me continue reading. King of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Okay, so Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and the four beasts and four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had an eagle's wings, And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Okay. And now, and that's talking about, Nebuchadnezzar. And I thank God, because Pastor Wright really covered. I'm like, when this morning, when he was going over this, over chapter 8 and backed up to chapter 7 and just pointing, he covered a lot of ground this morning, just pointing out what these different things meant. Amen. We thank God for that. And this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. This first king is Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. This first lion is Nebuchadnezzar. And it was lifted up from the earth and may stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. That's a bird. So it had four birds' wings. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured, it break in pieces, it stamped. And like Pastor Rice said this morning, that word stamp means trample the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I consider the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. Amen. Great things. Amen. And so verse 1, Daniel had a dream, right? It's not about the dream. It's about the vision. But I think he put the dream in there just to let us know how he had the vision, because sometimes these prophets, when they got visions while they were awake, while they were out in the field, whether they were being shepherds or they were at work, or, you know, the visions didn't always come during dream. Sometimes they were awake. Ezekiel was one who was sitting under the tree, all right, around midday, and he had a vision. So I think Daniel is trying to tell us the way the vision came to him was, it was by dream, okay? And this was, for Daniel, it was so enormous, and it was so much that he had to write it down. And so the other thing that we need to keep in mind is that we shouldn't just see these things as dreams and vision, but this is the word of God. And we talk about this in Hebrews chapter 1 and how it talk about the medium of communication that God used in time past. The diverse manners are dreams and visions that he spoke to the fathers through the prophets. So, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the written word. That's the living word, right? So God has always communicated. The medium or the means of communication has been different over human history, but nonetheless, it's still God speaking. It's the word of God. And Daniel, and I'm telling you, even for us preachers, right? And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm at work, and I'm thinking about a specific passage. I'm meditating on it as I'm doing my work. And man, the Lord just dump all this stuff, boom. And the mind can't handle it all. You have to write it down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just grab the notepad and I just start writing stuff. And so I'm telling you, it all is dumped on you in such a way that you can't even keep up with your own thoughts when you're trying to write. But because by the time you're done writing, you already forgot some of the stuff. And you know that the word of God is true when it says, listen, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we can't handle all this word. And I thank God because you see, this is some of the reason why over the years, God has given us his word in stages. It's just like this vision that Daniel is having. He received the visions in stages, and there are clues here. That says Daniel didn't receive all of this at one. There are different levels to this vision and various stages. God has had to give us his word over a period of time, over human history. Because had he dumped it all, I'm telling you, it'll blow our mind. We couldn't handle it. We'll go crazy. Amen. Yeah. And so Daniel knew this and he wrote it down. But the thing about it is he did like a summary. He wrote down like a summary. That's what it said. He told the son of the matter, right? And Daniel spake and said, so it's saying now Daniel is what Daniel wrote down. He wrote and he spoke. And this is what he saw in his vision by night. He saw the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And we talked about this on Monday morning, the four winds of heaven. And I believe that this is talking about the Holy Spirit. I believe this is talking about the Holy Spirit, the four winds, because if you remember back when Ezekiel, right? When Ezekiel had this vision and he was taken to the valley of dry bones, right? And the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel didn't take it upon himself to presume he knew the answer. Instead, he said, Lord, you know. And so the Lord says to him, prophesy. He said, so then, son of man. And he said, prophesy to these dry bones. And he didn't only say prophesy to the dry bone. He said, like in Ezekiel 37:9, he said that, then said he unto me, Ezekiel saying that God said unto him, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And what is the wind? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so what Daniel is saying here, it's not, and also Zechariah, right? Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6. Ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, say the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, save the Lord. Okay. And this is talking about his people. He spread them abroad. And not only that, but he spread the spirit of prophecy was out on them, on these people. And this four winds of heaven, It is telling us that this is not a literal win, that we feel blowing against our skin when we step outside our doors. This was a supernatural, this was a divine spirit of God that came, and it says it strove upon the great sea. And what we talked about on Monday, what is the great sea? It's the earth. The great sea is the earth. Amen. The great sea is a metaphor for the Gentile kingdoms of the earth. Okay. And he tells us this. He tells us this in the interpretation of the dream. But and so the great sea is and it says that, and we talked about this on Monday, right? Isaiah 17:12, woe to the multitude of people which make a noise like the noise of the seas and the rushing of nation, like the rushing of the waves of the sea, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. All right, and the nation shall rush like the rush of many waters. All right, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a roaring thing before the whirlwind. What is the whirlwind? That's what that's talking about, is what the Holy Spirit did. So he's using a metaphor of turbulence on a stormy sea. And it's saying that the Holy Spirit came, like, if you ever seen the picture of Doppler radar, right? From space, when they show a picture of a storm forming on the sea, you see something like a circle, you see the clouds, they're going in circle, mm-hmm. and in the midst, there is a hole, right? And that's a storm, and that's the idea of stroving, is stirring, right? And it's stirring the sea, and it's causing turbulence on the sea. But he is not talking about a literal sea. He's talking about the nations of the world, that the Spirit of God came and he stirred the nation. He stirred them and he caused turbulence among the nations. Amen. Mm. And that turbulence he caused, all those things that Pastor Wright was talking about this morning, about these different kingdoms rising up, conquering one another. These are the things that this is talking about. Amen. And Daniel prophesied those things happening. This is, and this is God's doing. This was God's doing. Amen. And Daniel prophesied about these great four beasts. We talk about this. There are four kings of four kingdoms. And you see that in the interpretation of the dream. The four beasts of heaven. The four beasts are four kings. Okay, so the first beast, right? The first beast, like a lion, and we talk about this, Nebuchadnezzar and these four nations, right? And I'm gonna just throw this out that this is just food for thought. Okay, I'm not saying this is what the word is saying, but I find it. Quite interesting, right? That some of these beasts that Daniel saw, the eagle, right? We said the first one was the first beast was like a lion, it had eagle's wings, the second like a bear, the third like a leopard, right? Of course, he does not give a description of the fourth one. But we'll get into that in a second. And I just find it like, and I was just like, it's amazing because Russia, right? The symbol for Russia is a bear. Right? Mm-hmm. The symbol for China is a dragon. The symbol for Great Britain, UK, the UK is a lion, right? And what's the symbol for the US, the United States of America? What is it? Y'all know it.
Eagle.
It's an eagle, right? I'm not saying this is what the word is saying. I just find it quite interesting. Okay? I find it quite interesting. If you look at, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 7 is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, right? The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentile is on his way, right? Now, this was Jeremiah prophesying what was going to happen to God's people and who was going to do it. And it was Nebuchadnezzar. And here, Nebuchadnezzar is called the lion, okay? He's called the lion. So clearly, verse 4, the lion that is in verse 4 is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He is going forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant, all right? Now, and this morning, Pastor Wright talked about of these four kingdoms. The greatest of them was Great Britain. Great Britain conquered most of the world. It conquered most of the world. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but when the Empire of Britain, what is the modern day nation of Alexander the Great? It is Great Britain. It's UK. It is a nation that is still alive today. It's still alive today. And guess what? And I'm not saying this is what the word is saying. Again, when they talk about having wings, right? The lion and the wings, having wings coming out of it. And I can't help. And because people say, when they talk about these great nations of great world power today, one of the things they say is the United States is not one of the nations that is mentioned in prophecy. And I don't think that's true. The problem is people go to the Bible and they're looking for the Bible to say the United States of America, and it's not going to say that. Or they're looking for the Bible to say Russia or Great Britain. What the Bible is going to say is the Bible is going to use their ancestry name, right? And so when you look at America came out of Great Britain. Did America was one of the nations that gained its independence from Great Britain. Same as Canada, Asia, Egypt, parts of Africa. All these nations was once part of, I wish I had a map to show you. They were all once part of this great empire, Great Britain. Conquered by Alexander the Great. And so they're still alive today. And I did a little bit of research, right? And there is a special relationship between America and the Brits. There's a connection. The relationship between the United States of America and the United Kingdom or Great Britain or Northern Ireland, right? It goes back 200 years before the United States declared independence from Great Britain. Now, the relationship, the United States and the United Kingdom fought each other in the American Revolution War, right? Just doing a little bit of history here. And again, in the war of 1812, right? And during the Civil War, the British were thought to have sympathies for the South, thus did not lead to military conflict. In World War I, the US and the UK, they fought together, right? In World War II, the United States entered the European portion of the conflict to defeat the United Kingdom, the, the two countries were also strong allies during the Cold War, right? And also the Gulf War, right? Also known as the Persian Gulf, right? And the United Kingdom was the only top world power to support the United States in the Iraq War. All right? And y'all remember Operation Desert Storm. You remember Operation Desert Storm. Remember the Persian Gulf War, right? So there's a history between these nations. I'm not saying that this is what the word is pointing out. I'm just, this is food for thought, okay? And just think about it, all right? The other thing about it is these two nations, right? Each country share enormous trade and economic relationship. Each country is among the other's top trading partners. And on the diplomatic front, both are among the founders of the United Nations. Both UK and the United States are among the founders of the United Nations. They are among the founders of NATO. The World Trade Organization as the G7, right? And a host of other international bodies, okay? And now, when you get a fourth beast that's gonna come out of 10 kingdoms, when you get a fourth beast and out of this fourth beast is gonna come 10 kingdoms, right? And out of those 10 kingdoms is gonna come the Antichrist. This fourth beast is talking about a kingdom, right? It referred to a king of a kingdom. And this kingdom is, listen, what I'm saying is, this is talking about a one world order where all the nations of the earth will be ruled, will be under one governmental body, right? And they will be ruled by one, which is going to end up eventually being the Antichrist, okay? And I can't help but find it to be very interesting that Daniel sees these visions. And listen, literally, when you trace history, most of these things have already happened. And these nations don't, it tells in the word what these different nations are. But the thing about it is the four of these are not the nations, but the kings. These nations continue, all right, down through history. The difference is we go in the world looking for these nations by their modern day name, and you're not going to find it. Even Iraq, when you go back to chapter one and they talk about Nebuchadnezzar taking the instruments from the temple and taking it to the temple of his God, and there's a city name in there that is mentioned. And we go back to Genesis chapter 11, and the same and the Tower of Babel, and the same name is mentioned. And guess where that city is today? It's in Iraq. So these nations, they're still there, okay, and they're still there today. But we just don't know them by their biblical name. Okay, so, and that's the thing, you got to follow and you got to make the connection. And like I say, I don't want to get into all the details and the minutiae about what all these means, but, and I want to get back to the Bible study. What does this really mean for us? Okay, what does it mean for us? And because like we started saying, God's intention here is to give us hope for the future. And if this was a sermon and I could choose a sermon title, it'll be "The Future is Bright." The future is bright for God's people. This is the whole point of this prophecy. And remember what we started talking about, the hopeless state that God's people felt. And in the midst of that hopelessness they felt, God gives these visions, these prophecy. And it was to give them a future hope, a hope in the future. And listen, we are the future. Amen. We're the future. What does all of this mean for us? We talk about pointing out these different nations, how they exist now. And listen, we talk about living in the time of the Gentiles. We as the church, amen, of Jesus Christ, we live in, I'm not just talking about in the United States of America, but throughout the world. Amen. The universal church of Jesus Christ is spread out throughout the world. And every nation that you find the church of Jesus Christ, you have this nation, the church, the people of God are governed by nations of Gentiles, kings, presidents, princesses, princes, and listen, and they pass laws and all this stuff. How do God want us to operate? And even in the end times, when the Antichrist come, right, or the great tribulation, and all these things that are happening, even in our world today, when a man can walk into a shopping place and shoot up the place and kill 10 people just because of their skin color, right? When you have all these things happening today, when a young man can walk into a church while they're having Bible study and kill almost everybody in the church, the persecution that Christians throughout the world are suffering. Listen, even in Rome, the persecution that Christians suffer in Rome, Nero burning Christians at the stake, and it's happening in this world we live in today. It's happening right now. Christians, it may not be happening in the United States of America, but it's happening in other parts of the world. Christians are being persecuted by the enemies of Christ. By the enemies of Christ. In these Muslim nations, Christians are being murdered and killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Because we can't just think of ourselves as the only Christians in the world. And we thank God because we live in a nation today, right? Where Christian persecution is not a physical thing. It's more spiritual in the sense of it's happening in it's not like it happening in the rest of the world where people can put tires around people and set it on fire, or why certain parts of the world right now in Muslim countries, people can't even go online and bring up the Bible online. They have these that search out these people online and they come to their homes, drag them out. These things are happening right now. And if you notice, if you go on some Christian websites now, they're posting notes there warning people. They're saying, if you live in a nation that is persecuting Christians, please don't click on this link. And they're telling people this because if you click on the link, they can trace it back that you are a Christian, that you downloaded a Bible or you went on a Christian site. And so people don't have homes. They're having churches in their homes. And while they're having church in their home, they come and they barricade the doors and the window and they set the homes on fire. These things are happening right now in this world. And how can we take courage from this? And I thank God we don't live in the United States where such things can happen because of the common law of the states, right? But we still get persecuted in other ways for our faith, on our jobs, right? In our communities, on our job. If someone know you are a Christian, chances are you gonna be persecuted. It's not going to be a persecution that's out in your face because people don't want to get in trouble, but it's going to happen. So what does God want us to take from the prophecies that he gave in his word is that there's a hope for the future. There's a hope for the future that all these nations stirring up and rising up against each other. And the other thing I didn't point out is Rome was never one of those empires that was destroyed. Rome was never destroyed. It was just broken up. And what the Bible is also telling us is there is a spirit of Rome that still exists. And there is a like manner nation like Rome or empire like Rome that's going to rise up again in these last days. Amen. And so what's the encouragement? Well, first of all, we need to understand that we can trust God's word. We can trust God's word because, listen, these four kingdoms, these four beasts, with the exception of the fourth beast, everything else has come to pass. All of those prophecies has been fulfilled. Okay? And so somebody might say, well, it's been fulfilled. How does that encourage me? It encourage you because it lets you know that you can trust God's word. It lets you know that God's word is true. That when God speaks, what he speaks does come to pass. Daniel mm-hmm. will prophesy these things and they will come to pass. Nebuchadnezzar already be dealt with. The Babylonian Empire dealt with. The Roman Empire dealt, and you know, and the other thing, right? And I forgot to point this out. Alexander the Great, when he was on his conquest to conquer the world, right? The historian, I think it's Josephus, the Jewish historian, he wrote that this prophecy of Daniel was shown to Alexander the Great. And how he was in this prophecy. And it says that when he was on his conquest, he bypassed the nation of Israel. Because when they show him this prophecy, fear overtook him. He bypassed right. the nation of Israel. He wanted nothing to do with their God. But what he didn't know is that he conquered all these nations because God allowed it. Amen? Because God allowed it. And we can be encouraged to know that God prophesied these things through Daniel and they came to pass. And so we can trust God's word. We can trust God's word and what he says in his word. Amen? And the other thing is, you ever seen a cartoon where, I remember when I was a teenager, I first came to America. You had the cartoon, right? We used to watch cartoon and you hear the voice, this deep, bassy voice, big, and you will hear it talking, but you won't see any image on the screen. And then all of a sudden, this very small, tiny dog will walk into the frame, right? And you're like, what in the world? The voice didn't match. The person it was coming from. Amen. And the picture that God is painting of the Antichrist is that he's a little horn with a big mouth. He's a little horn with a big mouth because it said he was speaking great boasting words. He's a defeated fool. Amen. Listen, he just has a big mouth. And yes, he's going to cause havoc. And yes, Christians will be persecuted for not taking the mark of the beast. Yes, but what God wants us to know is he's not our foe. He's not our enemy. He's God's enemy, and God has given us a future where he has promised to deal with his enemy and the enemy of Christ. And so we can trust God's word. We can take confidence in God's word. Amen. The idea that is painted for us in verse 2 of the four winds and the storming of the sea is that the future is going to be filled with turmoil and turbulence. All right? That's the idea of the future. God has promised. God has not promised that Christians, everything is going to be all good. He has not promised that. In fact, God has promised the very opposite. He's promised he said, Christ in John chapter 16, when he was talking to the disciple, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." In the world, right? We're talking about this Gentile world. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say, maybe you're going to have tribulation or you might have tribulation. No, he said, you shall have tribulation. God never promised that this world we're living in, everything is going to be all good. In fact, he promised the very opposite. You shall have tribulation. But Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. And what are you saying? I have overcome the world. But this prophecy of the Antichrist and this fourth beast it has not been fulfilled. But yet Christ is saying, I have overcome. Be of good cheer. These things I've spoken to you, that so you can have peace when they come. All right. And who is he? And listen, if Christ overcame the world, then we too can overcome the world. Who is he that overcome the world? But he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's him who overcomes the world. And this is what overcomes the world. Even our faith in Jesus Christ and his word, right? And that's what I'm talking about. We can trust the word of God. Amen. To do what it says it's going to do. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. You can trust the word of God. And listen, and David, right? David in Psalm 51, right? And he was talking about his sin, right? And he was talking about how it's only against God that he has sinned, right? And done the evil of having Uriah killed, right? That was the evil he done. And it's interesting in Psalm 51:4. David says that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Okay? Listen, the things that God has spoken in his word, they will happen. Some has happened, and they happen to prove that God is just and that he is justified, and that they happen so that he can be proved to be right. The Bible said, let God be right and everyone else a liar. Amen. And listen, there is a judgment coming. But listen, there's an encouragement for us in verse 10. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. This is talking about the Ancient of Days. This is talking about God the Father. And Daniel saw him sitting on the throne. Amen. And what the picture God is painting for us is that even though these things are happening, he is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. Nothing is slipping by him. The enemies of Christ are not doing anything that they're going to get away with. Even the Babylonian kingdom weren't getting away with anything when they capture God's people. God was the one that allowed them to capture. God was going to take care of them in the future. Amen. And listen, thousands minister unto him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. Literally, millions of people stood before him. And the judgment was set and the books was open. Amen. The books were open. Amen. What books was open? Well, and listen, the Bible talks about these books. And you notice there Daniel didn't see one book. The word book is in the plural form. So actually, there was more than one book. And even John, in his prophecy, in his vision, in the book of Revelation, he talks about the books in another book. He's talking about the book was open. The dead was raised. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, all right? And there was found no place for them. Why did they flee away? Well, Daniel tells us here that the Ancient of Days, his vesture was white as wool, right? And actually, the idea that Daniel's trying to tell us is that he's pointing out the purity of God. Amen. So what John is saying, the earth, they fled away because of the purity of God, right? That they saw upon his face, right? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There it is again, plural. The books were open. And another book was open, okay, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, and out of these things which was written in the books, according to their works, okay? So in these books, they're spread out over the Bible. The Bible talks about them. But the most common book we know about is the Lamb's Book of Life, right? But there is the book of remembrance. There is the book of remembrance. And Malachi, the prophet, talk about the book of remembrance. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that taught upon his name. So I believe this is one of those books that Daniel and John is talking about, the book of remembrance, right? And listen, Job, when he was going through his stuff, Job chapter 19, he says in verse 23, he said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven in an iron pen, with an iron pen, and laid in the rock forever, right? But what Job was hoping would be true is really true. There is a book of remembrance where God is going to remember his people. When we stand, and I didn't want the enemy of Christ, this judgment is really what it's not just about these kings being judged, right? But it's also about, because you see, it says, thousands times 10,000 stood before him, the judgment was set. So it's not just these four kings that was judged, but they was judged and dominion was given to Christ. But also there was others that were judged. Amen? And listen, Paul says, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And even Paul included himself in the number of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, we including Christians, we're going to stand before the judgment of Christ. We're going to stand before the judgment of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to remember. He's going to remember everyone who preached the word and preached in the name of Jesus. He's going to remember everyone who said a prayer and prayed that prayer in the name of Jesus. He's going to remember every one of our works that we did within the church. He's going to remember it. But you know what else he's going to remember? He's going to remember the tears, right? The psalmist says, Psalms 56, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He's saying, he's asking, these tears that I cry from suffering, are they not written in your book of remembrance? He's going to remember this stuff. Amen? He's going to remember this stuff. But you know what else he's going to remember? He's going to remember every idle word. We will have to give an account for every idle word. That's the book of remembrance. Then there's also the book of life, right? And the Lamb's book of life. There's also the book of judgment, the book of judgment against works. There's a book that have the name of people in it who hold to works righteousness. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2 when he talks about treasuring up upon ourselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation. That's those who hold to work righteousness. They have an account that is added to every time they believe in their works. In all of these books, when the judgment of Christ comes, they will be open and the enemies of Christ will be judged. Their acts against the people of God will be recorded in these books. Our suffering for Jesus Christ, every time we stood up, even though when we knew we was going to get persecuted, it will be recorded in the books. God's going to listen. God's word is true. It's true. And we can trust God's word. If these things came to pass, that everything he's spoken in his word is going to come to pass. Amen. It's going to come to pass. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we don't know it all, God, but even the little bit that you can allow us to learn, we pray, God, that this would just enter into our hearts in such a way that it's not just about knowledge and accumulation of knowledge and knowing all these things and knowing what they mean and all these different symbols and these different dreams. But God, you're saying something much greater than that. You're saying, God, that you have a plan, that you have been working even from the Garden of Eden, and you will carry on your plan. You said, God, he who has begun a good work will finish it even to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, just help us to trust you, to know that you are working all things out for our good, to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, to know, God, that you are our protector, you are our buckler, you are our shield. God, you cover us with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. God, and even when the death angel comes, he can't help but pass over us, because you protect us. You love us in such a way, God. Help us to know that you have a plan, a future for us. And it's a future of peace. It's a future of an end that we can expect. There is a kingdom that is coming. And Lord, this kingdom of Jesus Christ, it's coming. And when it comes, Lord God, you are going to put an end to this Gentile rule of your earth. And God, you are going to give dominion to your son, Jesus Christ, and the kingdom that these worlds and these kingdoms have held on to for so long will be turned over to those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And he will rule as the King of glory, as the King who have dominion over the earth. And so we thank you, God, that we have a future to look forward to. Help us that even as we are going through our daily life, whatever comes our way, we can be encouraged to know that you have a plan for our future and that you have a purpose that you are working out, even through the things that we suffer. And the greater purpose that we will be conformed to your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to know these things, God, that we can walk in this dark and evil days, victorious, knowing that we are overcomers and that we overcome even by the word of our testimony. So help us to know these things, Lord God. We pray for everyone on the line. Just have your way, God. Those who are going to bed tonight, God, we pray for a hedge of protection, that you will cover our families, our homes. You will cover our homes with the blood of Jesus Christ, that the death angel will pass. The enemy is upset. The enemy is mad, and he is looking. He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But we pray, God, that you will cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep us, Lord God, safe. And God, even if death come and take us away, God, we can still rejoice because we know that death does not get the final say so. You have defeated death. You have taken the sting out of death. You have conquered the grave, Lord God. And that we are already victorious and we can know that. So just go with us, God. Put a hedge of protection around us. Just cover us, our home. We pray for our children, Lord God. And even as they're going to school in this Babylonian kingdom, Lord God, and they are flooded with these various ideas of these different religions of the world, Lord God, we pray that you will cover their minds. You pray, Lord God, we pray even for us parents, God, that we won't just sit aside and just let the enemy just take control of our children coming to our homes through the television, through these devices, through the internet, and even through these textbooks that these schools are putting before them. Lord God, allow us to continue to lay who Jesus Christ is before our children. Lord God, that there is a standard that is already lifted up before them against the enemy, because you said in your word that when the enemy come in as a raging flood, even the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. That's a standard that's already been raised up. And it's your word that we can always come back to your word and know what thus saith the Lord, Lord God. It doesn't mean that we teach our children, God, that they shouldn't do their schoolwork, that they should participate in school. But we have a responsibility to point out these things to them and let them know what the differences are and what they mean. And we pray for every parent on the line, every parent in the church, Lord God. Just go with us. Help us, Lord God. Go with us. Help us on our job. Help us, Lord God, against the enemies, the snares of the enemies and the traps that he set. Help us, God, against the enemies of Christ, who when they see Jesus Christ in us, they want to persecute us. God, we just pray for every believer. We pray for every child of yours. We pray for Community Baptist Church. We pray for every office at Community Baptist Church. Lord God, just continue to do a work through us. We pray for all the churches of Jesus Christ spread out all over the world, Lord God. Just continue to have your way. Just continue to have your way and help us, Lord God, to go through these tough times, knowing that you have already overcome the world and that we can overcome this very world even by our faith in Jesus Christ, because you promised that in your word. Go with us, God. We pray, Lord God, for this ministry of going through the book of Daniel. And even as we continue this last week, God, we pray that you will have your way. Just continue to reveal your heart and your mind and your intention and your plans for us. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And for his sakes, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.